In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Beste kijkers van Hour of Power, op deze vroege zondagochtend van harte welkom. En het thema van vandaag is fantastisch, want ik kan niet leven zonder en ik hoop jullie ook niet. Bobby spreekt over leven met passie. En als je geen passie hebt in je leven, dan wordt het toch wel, denk ik, heel erg moeilijk. En ik ben benieuwd wat hij gaat zeggen in zijn toespraak. Leven met passie, dat doet ook mijn gast van vanmorgen, Cham Rosie. En zij is niet alleen een stijlicoon, ze is niet alleen een fantastische zangeres, maar ze is ook iemand die gelooft in de enige die zin maakt in je leven. En ik vind het geweldig dat je hier bent. Je hebt net een nieuwe cd gemaakt. Daar heb je The One op gezongen. Prachtig. Daar gaan we straks naar luisteren. Prachtig. Maar als ik over passie heb, ik pluk even een tulp. Moet je kijken. Deze tulpen en bloemen hebben we gekregen van allerlei pollenkwekers. Ja. Onder leiding van Willem van der Akker. Trouwe over powerkijker uit de buurt van Hillegom en Lisse. En dit is een nieuwe variëteit.
Is deze voor mij?
Die is, ja, natuurlijk. Het is mooi, hè?
Ja, heel apart.
Allemaal nieuwe variëteiten. Dus we zitten heerlijk tussen al die mooie bloemen. En daarvan ben jij de mooiste.
Nou, dankjewel.
Nou, na al deze lovende woorden gaan we naar Shepherd Grove.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Welcome, welcome. The Lord wants to stir up the passion within you this morning. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I.
You know, we're so glad you're here today, and we believe that God has a word for you. And you know, this is a wonderful place. Shepherd's Grove is a place where we like people. We are a community of joy, a community of happy students of Jesus who want to know God more and be integrated in each other's lives and see the kingdom of God just flourishing in the world around us. And if you want to be a part of that, consider being a part of this church. We're so glad you're here. We know whatever burden is you're carrying, God's going to take it from you today. We believe that today is the beginning of the end of your burdens and that you're going to begin to overcome in the name of Jesus and walk in the in eternal life of God's good world. So let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we come with everything in us to worship you and say, Lord, that we love you, we honor you, we respect you, we value you, and we pray that you would form in our hearts and minds the image of Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins, renew our souls, and help us to walk in goodness. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
may be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message this morning, the words of our Lord found in Isaiah. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. May we embrace the fire within us and live passionately for something bigger.
Thank you so much for blessing us this morning, and thank you, choir, for continuing to love our community and serve all of you. We appreciate you. All right. You know, the great thing about being a believer is that, you know, no matter what we're going through, God's going to work it out. He's going to sort it out for us, and that's the good thing. If you're watching on television, we want to say thank you for joining us, and we want you to know that God loves you, that this church loves you, and that I love you. And we want you to know that whoever you are, whatever you're going through, God's going to carry you through, and that you are loved. There's no subtext to that. There is no, you are loved if. You are loved. And you are valued. And we want you to know that we care about you. And we're so glad that you're joining us today. This truly is a global church, isn't it, guys? This is like an amazing thing when you think about all the people all around the world and all these countries joining in one worship service. It's a very, very special thing. And we're glad you're a part of it. Now, why do we do what we do? We do it because we want people to live in the value, the dignity that comes in living in God's love. And we challenge people to walk every day as happy students of Jesus. Because of that, that's why we exist. And so to reinforce that, we do this declaration every Sunday. Would you stand and join me in it? Hold your hands out like this as a sign of receiving. Say this with me. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Amen. You may be seated.
He had paid the price.
One God, One People, One Voice. Prachtig lied waar Sarah Grand Prix, die straks met de Bobby Schuller tournee mee naar Nederland komt, ook in debuteerde. Een even mooie stem heeft ze, Rosie. En ik heb je al met verve aangekondigd, hoop ik. En voordat we gaan praten, want je bent regelmatig te zien op het North Sea Jazz Festival, bij De Wereld Draait Door. Je geeft concerten. We hebben gisteravond al een heel mooi concert gehad. Maar we gaan eerst kijken naar The One. Ik vind het echt een fantastisch mooi lied.
Dank je wel.
The one that is here when everybody else is gone. The one that is near when you think you're all alone. Never feeling lonely 'cause he's by my side. Never am I hungry 'cause I'm fed by the Christ, yeah. My anointed Savior. Who am I that you did this for me? Beginning and the end, yeah, that is you. On the present day, your majesty, yeah, your love has healed me and has made me new. The one that is truth when all the others tell me lies. The one distributing fruit from the tree of life, yeah. Neither am I lost nor escaped when I let you. Never feeling hopeless 'cause you know what I need. My anointed Savior. Who am I that you did this for me? Beginning and the end, yeah, that is you. On the present day, your majesty.
Er zijn vier albums verschenen in The One, wat een hit lijkt te worden. Zing je over wie en over wat?
The One, het album heet The One en The One is de titeltrack. The One staat voor God. Ja, dat God is voor mij het belangrijkste en de bron waar ik alles uitput. Inspiratie voor om te zingen, om te leven. Inspiratie voor vriendschap, waar ik mijn antwoorden vandaan haal. Waar ik mijn vragen aan stel, dat is gewoon waar mijn voeten staan. Dat is mijn my rock.
Ja,
en een relatie hebben met God eigenlijk. En dat vanuit mijn eigen visie eigenlijk.
Ja. Je had het net over waar je voeten op staan. Nou, ja. Jouw babyvoetjes zijn geboren in Cameroen.
Ja, klopt.
In 9 was, kwam je naar Nederland. Waarvoor kwam je naar Nederland?
Mijn moeder ontmoette een Nederlandse man uit Maastricht. En ze kreeg contact via en nou ja...
Liefde.
De liefde was daar en voor ik het wist was ik in Nederland.
Ja.
Ja.
Dus heb je hier een fijn leven?
Ik heb het geweldig in Nederland. Ik heb het heel fijn. Ik ben hier hartstikke
mensen,
gelukkig.
Ja.
Ja.
Ik noemde je stijlicoon aan het begin van het programma. Toen zat je me een beetje aan te kijken. Van, nou Jan, doe maar. Maar dat ben je toch wel een beetje?
Nee, ja. Ooit heeft iemand dat geschreven... En dat nemen mensen dan over, omdat het leuk klinkt of zo. En natuurlijk ben ik bezig met, zie ik er een beetje apart uit of anders. Niet zo doorsnee, kijk maar naar mijn kapsel, dat soort dingen.
Ik ben helemaal jaloers.
Dus dat besef ik wel, dat ik heus wel op een bepaalde manier uitzie. Maar ik voel me gevleid of zo, maar het is niet iets, een titel die ik mezelf zou geven.
Dan treed je bijvoorbeeld op In de Wereld Draait Door, op het North Sea Jazz Festival. Dat is toch wel heel prestigieus. Hoe ervaar je dat?
Dus je krijgt een podium, je krijgt de kans om je ding te doen. Dus om jezelf te zijn, om je boodschap te verkondigen, om wat je ook als artiest waar je voor staat, om dat te doen op een podium. En dat vind ik, zie ik wel als een zegen dat ik dat soort dingen mag doen.
Je gebruikt een mooi christelijk woord, zegen op het podium van North Sea. Zegen op het podium van De Wereld Draait Door. Dat hoort dat bij elkaar? Kan dat bij elkaar?
Ja, voor mij wel. Ja. Een zegen is voor mij niet alleen op een platform waar alleen maar christenen zijn of alleen in de kerk. En ja, daarom volg ik ook Jezus Christus. Omdat voor mij dat allemaal bij elkaar valt. Dat de basis is toch wel God eerst en je naaste liefhebben zoals je jezelf lief hebt. Als ik die basis behoud, dan zie ik op heel veel plekken en in heel veel situaties de zegen.
Ja. Maar toch, je spreekt de naam van Jezus dierbaar uit. Toch is een tijd geweest dat je het een merkwaardige man vond. Daar had je niks mee.
Nee, klopt. Ik kom uit een christelijke familie. Iedereen is eigenlijk, waar ik vandaan kom in Cameroen, is iedereen gelovig. Echt een christelijke gemeenschap. Ik ken dat best wel goed en al heel lang. Maar een echte relatie had ik niet met Jezus. Dus wat dat betreft kwam dat pas veel later toen ik in Nederland was eigenlijk. Als tiener had ik... Ik ben altijd heel erg bezig geweest met levensvragen. En is er leven na de dood? En dingen... Die spirituele laag van het leven, zeg maar. Heeft me altijd geïnteresseerd. En ook al die andere wegen die andere mensen volgen. En wat is nou de juiste weg voor mij? En waar vind ik de waarheid in? En op een gegeven moment heb ik mijn weg teruggevonden naar God en via Jezus. Dat was voor mij...
Zo bij bliksemslag? Of?
Nee, eigenlijk ik ging in 2009 weer eens terug naar Cameroen. En dan ga je weer doen wat je vroeger altijd deed. Naar de kerk en samen gezellig eten en dat soort dingen. En het was zo'n fijne ervaring naar de kerk gaan daar. Dus toen ik hier terugkwam, dacht ik... Ja, ik leg het gewoon bij God neer. Ik heb heel erg die dorst weer om mijn relatie te gaan voeden of meer daarover te gaan weten. En God heeft me geleid. En zo, lang verhaal kort. Ik ben in ieder geval terug in Gods armen eigenlijk. Qua een relatie echt opbouwen. Dat heb ik echt geleerd. Door zelf op onderzoek te gaan. Zelf die Bijbel te gaan lezen. Zelf naar dienst te gaan. En in plaats van gepoest te worden door je familie of andere mensen.
Dat werkt niet.
Heel erg vanuit mezelf. Want ik ben super sceptisch en ik hou niet van mensen die... je moet dit en je moet dat. Dat baal ik zelf wel. Zo'n persoon ben ik. Dus dat duurde wel even voordat ik door bepaalde dingen heen kon kijken. En echt Gods liefde ja, ervaren heb en aanrakingen heb gehad waarvan ik zeker weet, ja, dat is gewoon God. En ja, ik ben zo geliefd en dit is zo mooi. Dit wil ik nooit verbergen. Overal waar ik kom, waar dat dan ook mag zijn, kerk, geen kerk. Mensen moeten weten waarin ik geloof en wat mij vreugde geeft.
Weet je wat ik zo leuk vind? Want je bent, hè, je zegt, ik ben geliefd door God. Er zit een soort zachtmoedigheid in je. Tegelijkertijd lijkt je me ook een buitengewoon kordate tante.
Ja, ik heb wel iets wittigs. Ja, ja. Misschien het Afrikaanse ook. Maar iedereen heeft een bepaald karakter. Ik ben net als de meeste vrouwen inderdaad zachtmoedig. En we zijn wel rustig, maar als het erop aankomt, ben ik wel een vechter. Ik weet wel hoe ik mijn doel moet bereiken. Dat wel. En ik vind dat gewoon heel belangrijk om doelen te stellen voor jezelf. En met God aan je zijde kan je echt alles aan. Dat betekent niet, want wat ik vroeger niet begreep, van ja, maar als je dan een christen bent, waarom hebben die mensen dan ook problemen? Dat snapte ik niet. Ik dacht, ja, je komt tot Jezus en dan is je leven perfect. Ja. Maar dat is heel kinderlijk. In ja, je kinderlijke, geestelijke ja, kinderschoenen zit je dan nog. En nu snap ik dat veel meer. Dat, kijk, het is één ding om in God te geloven en zeker te weten dat Hij er voor je is. Maar het is een ander ding om die tools aan te pakken die God je toereikt. Mensen om je heen. Weet je wel, bepaalde situaties waarin je ineens bent. Dat je denkt, hè, daar moet je iets mee doen. God gaat niet van boven naar beneden komen en het allemaal voor jou doen. Hij is er wel om deuren te openen en zo, maar jij moet wel, ja, je moet er zelf ook heel hard aan werken. Zodat je echt, wanneer je het vastpakt, dat je het echt voelt van, ach, nu snap ik echt. Dat je het echt voelt en niet dat je het voor lief neemt. Ja.
Je zegt, ik stel mijn doelen heel duidelijk. Wat zijn je doelen voor? Want je bent nog super jong.
Dank je. Dat horen we graag.
Ik was op bang te zeggen, jij bent super oud, maar dat doe je dan.
Nee.
Dat is helemaal heel zachtmoedig van je, hoor.
Tuurlijk niet.
Oké. Okay. Maar wat zijn je doelen?
Mijn dromen op het moment. Ik heb een dochtertje van iets met 7 maanden ongeveer is.
Je moest even over.
Ja, weken, maanden. Het is allemaal nieuw voor mij, dat mama zijn. Maar, dus dat is heel nieuw. En ja, ik ben vooral aan het genieten. Maar op het moment, het album dat ik vorig jaar heb uitgebracht, The One. Ja, daar wil ik nog meer uithalen qua spelen en ja, promotie daaromheen. En ondertussen alvast bezig met nieuw materiaal. Ja, in geloof weer stappen en weten dat het goed komt en erachteraan. Dus dat is een zakelijk iets. En voor mijn gezin, ja, de doel is gewoon om mijn dochter goed op te voeden. En mijn stiefkinderen ook eigenlijk. En met mijn man een mooie te groeien in onze relatie, in ons huwelijk. En ja, een mooi leven te hebben. En maatschappelijk meer te doen voor anderen. Dat is mijn doel eigenlijk de komende tijd.
Dit is de laatste dag van je leven. Dit is de laatste uur van je leven. Dit is de laatste minuut van je leven. Wat doe je in die laatste minuut? Wat zeg je? Wat denk je?
Ja, ik zou denk ik niet het niet te verdrietig willen maken. Want ik geloof in iets moois na de dood. Dus eigenlijk, ja, het is geen feest natuurlijk als je overlijdt. Dat mogen duidelijk zijn. Maar als je gelooft, dan sta je er anders in. Kijk, die dag komt toch wel voor ons allemaal. Dus wat dat betreft zou ik het wel heel fijn vinden als er wat mensen om mijn gezin, mijn familie, mijn moeder, mijn man, mensen om me heen zijn die samen met mij het heen gaan, ja, kunnen ervaren. En dat ik ze gerust kan stellen van maak je geen zorgen over mij, ik ga naar een fijne plek, weet je wel, en leef het leven. Ja. Dat is wat ik zou...
Je hebt over alles goed nagedacht, hè? Nou, je hebt voor alles een antwoord.
Ik praat graag. Misschien ja, heb ik later een talkshow of zo. Ja. Dat is ook een van mijn dromen.
Ja?
Maar ja, dat vind ik heel leuk.
Ik kan eens kijken wat ik kan betekenen.
Wie weet.
Ja. Hey, ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk dat je hier vanmorgen bij Hour of Power te gast bent. En dank voor dat prachtige lied, de man. En ik vind het leuk dat je af en toe naar Hour of Power kijkt als je vrij hebt. En dat je enthousiast over bent.
Ja, mijn moeder kijkt ook.
Ja?
Dus, ja.
Oh, doe haar de hartelijke groeten.
Ja, gaat ze heel leuk vinden.
Oké. Ik nodig mezelf uit voor een Cameroens etentje. Nee hoor.
Altijd welkom. Okay. Afrikaans.
Nou, die heb ik binnen. Alsjeblieft, Gods liefde. Drie boekjes van Bobby.
Oh, leuk.
Ja, misschien nou hebben we een uit voor je moeder. Nee, weet je wat? Geef deze aan je moeder. Hier staat op: Acting Happy Glorifies God. Johannes 15, vers 11.
Ah,
vind je die niet mooi?
Ja.
Wil je die aan je moeder geven?
Zal ik doen.
En zeggen dat we heel trots zijn bij Out of Power op haar dochter.
Ah, dankjewel. Okay.
Rosie. Ongelooflijk bedankt. Oh, dat is bijzonder, zeg.
Ja, cool.
Ja, cool. Ja. Zie je wel, je bent toch een stijlicoon.
Oké. <Okay. Okay. laughs>
Daar zijn we het over eens. Wij hebben een mededeling.
Kom en ervaar Hour of Power live. Ontmoet elkaar en Bobby Schuller op een van de avonden. De presentatie is in handen van Jan van der Bos en het thema is Je bent geliefd. Geweldige artiesten treden voor u op. Uit Amerika soliste Sarah Grand Prix van het Hour of Power Core. En Remco Harms, bekend van LA The Voices. En op onze grote podia de swingende New York Gospel Singers. Bestel nu uw kaarten en kom op dinsdag 21 juni naar Drachten, woensdag 22 juni naar Gouda of op vrijdag 24 juni naar Veenendaal. Bel nu 035 538 0588 of ga naar www.hourofpower.nl.
Bobby Schuller komt dus naar Nederland en daar zijn we erg blij mee. En trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power die ook donateur zijn, hebben afgelopen vrijdag, denk ik, iets op de deurmat gevonden. En dat is namelijk ons nieuwe Hope Magazine. Verander je denken en je verandert de wereld. En daarin veel informatie ook over het komende tournee met Bobby. En ook een achtergrondverhaal over zangeres Sarah Grand Prix. En zij komt ook naar Nederland. Ze is een van de topzangeressen van het Hour of Power Core. En kijk eens op de achterkant een mooie poster die je misschien voor je raam kunt zetten over het komende tournee. Nou, en wat wil ik nog meer zeggen? Oh ja, dat Sarah Grand Prix gaat zingen samen met twee collega-zangers. How deep the Father's love is.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son. To make a wretch his treasure. Great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one.
today I want to begin talking about what it means to live every single day saturated in God's presence. We believe that this is God's world. We believe we're living in His presence. But very often, we struggle to feel it, don't we? Like, I know this is God's world. I know God's present. I know He loves me. I don't really feel it. I know it in here, but not in here, in my guts. And I want us to feel it. I want us to go through a process of being aware of the true, awesome presence of God's love and healing power. And He is intelligent, loving. He is intentional. He's available. And He's heavily involved in your life. And although it feels very often like, I am alone, I'm not going to get through this, God is with you, and He will carry you through. And so what I want for you, for everyone here in this building today and everyone watching on television, I want you to be able to feel and recognize the presence of God around you, working through you, God's life and power. We're going to talk about that, okay? I want to begin by talking about a Christian definition of this now very popular word, spirituality. I want to talk about what Christians believe spirituality is, and in that, what a healthy spirituality is, and how we can do it. And I want to begin with this. Spirituality is associated with desire, will, heart, or the word I'm going to use today is passion. Passion. There is, in all of us, a passion that fires us into good or evil. And when we are passionate about something, we are most alive. Amen?
Amen?
When I was a teenager, I believed for some reason, and this is bizarre for a Schuler to think something so off the wall, but I thought to be passionate was a bad thing, and to be spiritual was to be dispassionate, or to be mellow, or to just be, you know, I don't know. I knew so many religious people who were depressed and unengaged, that I often thought that passion, well, that always leads to evil and badness, etc. And I went to this thing called Acquire the Fire, a guy named Ron Luce. He was really big in the 90s. He's still doing great things today, but ministered to teenagers and actually activated teenagers to go on international mission trips, even to sometimes dangerous places. Radical guy, wonderful guy, and he transformed my life. I went to this event called Acquire the Fire, and there I saw teenagers, people my age and thousands of them, on fire for God, passionate about their faith, and were doing something about it. And what I took from that event was a new perspective, a new paradigm, that I would be different in the way I live and walk in my life and faith. And so what happened is the first thing I did when I left, I signed up to go on a missionary trip to Thailand. And before that, I decided in my school, it was a big school, we had 1,000 students, that I was going to go up to all of the grimiest, grittiest, hardest guys in my school. And so the first convert I made was a girl who considered herself a witch, and she was in the occult and all this stuff. She was using heroin. She came to faith, and by the way, later she became a Baptist youth pastor. And I continued to just proselytize the heck out of my school. I would go up to students and I'd be like, you're doing drugs, you need Jesus, He loves you, you don't need this stuff, you can get your life better, you know? It started, by the way, where I went to the popular kids, the kids who had all their lives together, and they wanted nothing to do with me. And it was when I sort of led this witch girl to faith that I was like, oh, that's where the money is. The money is with, you know, that's where you gotta go. And so, like, I had a drug dealer, the drug dealer in our school followed me around. And he didn't come to faith for quite a while, but he followed me around and asked me questions. And pretty soon I had droves of teenagers coming to my mom's house, and the youth group would send 2 school buses to come pick up all the converts I had made of the worst kids in our school. And that was so good for me as a teenager. Because I recognize that passion, that zeal, what the scripture calls it, is a good thing. That zeal for God and zeal to see souls saved, a desire for revival and for God's power and God's move, well, that was from God. That was spiritual. That spiritual didn't mean depressed. Spiritual didn't mean calm. That spiritual meant on fire. It meant passionate about something bigger than me. Amen? So there is this big confusion that spirituality means, I don't know, boring. I don't know why. That's what religious means. Religious is boring. But spiritual is passion. And religion certainly has its place in your spirituality. And it hones things in. It's the police officer, you know. It's the governor. But spirituality, well, all of us have a spirituality because all of us have a spirit. Amen? You are born into this world on fire. Every baby that enters this world enters screaming and clawing and shouting, and they're hungry and they're thirsty and they don't know what's going on and they're on fire. This is you. All of us have this in us, our spirit. The Bible refers to the spirit as the will or the heart. It's all the same thing. And the will, the heart, or the spirit is the function of desire. Desire. That fire within you, what you desire is your spirituality. My desire is to see that desirous people, hungry people, thirsty people, on fire people come to know God and use that passion and that fire for His goodness, that it's integrated into His kingdom. Amen? So spirituality is what you do with this fire. All of us have it. A healthy spirituality means that you desire what Jesus desired. That you desire it so much, it's a passion. You know, the word passion actually means suffering. That's why compassion means to suffer with someone. Passion means suffering. It means you want something so bad that you're suffering. You want it so bad that it hurts. Passion is a good thing, especially when passion is geared towards God and when you're passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. You know what Jesus desired? He desired that prostitutes and tax collectors and the wealthy and the poor would come and sit at His table, know God's love, repent of their sin, and walk in God's eternal life. That's what He wanted. And that's what He always invited people to do. That's what He was passionate about. He was passionate about people, and He was passionate about the Father's love. And Jesus was a passionate guy. I don't know why. Very often we have this image of Jesus in a white robe standing something like this or like this, kind of hovering, you know, as though He's one with the force, just kind of like everywhere He goes. You know, Jesus was a carpenter, and He had a beard, and He was traveling a lot, and He was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet and is a prophet. He did things that prophets did, you know, like speaking truth to power, like telling kings that they're beneath God and that their reign will come to an end, and speaking to the religious figures who are abusing weaker people and telling them that they were doomed, and He would kick over tables. And in fact, the crucifixion of Jesus actually called what? The Passion. It's one of His greatest defining characteristics. Jesus is passionate. And so to have a healthy spirituality means that we don't dial down our passion, that we don't try and choke it up, but that we are passionate about what Jesus was passionate about, that we're trained, that our will is trained into God's will, that we want what God wants, and we want it so bad it hurts. If you reach that, you will. People that are passionate about anything are alive. That is true. Even people that are passionate about bad things feel alive. But in the end, if you're passionate about something that's evil, it will destroy you and others. Be passionate about God's goodness and feel eternal life. That will never, ever end. So, a healthy passion means I desire what Jesus desired. And the word I want to use today is integrated. Everyone say, integrated. There is no substitute for this word. I looked for one. I couldn't find one. This is it. Integrated means put together parts or elements to make them a whole. Your body right now is an integration in and of itself. Right now, chemically, there are all sorts of chemicals and other elements going on in your body that are integrated into one another that make you you. They form all of your body parts and your blood and your heart and your organs and everything else. And everything, all these almost infinite amount of chemicals and atoms and things are working together in your body to keep you alive. Thank God, right? And someday that will stop working and you will die. And when that happens, and I will too, and when that happens, those elements will not be integrated anymore, right? They all exist. Everything, every cell, every chemical, everything still exists. It's just no longer integrated. Every chemical begins to go its own separate way, do its own thing, and that is what death looks like. It's disintegrated, right? It's the opposite. It's everything going in its own way. And that's how many of us are. We're not integrated into the kingdom of God. We're not integrated into what God is doing. We're not integrated into life. We're disintegrated. We're passionate. We have this thing in us, but we're outside of a greater whole. It's about us. And so what that does is that actually causes death and not life. It causes us to be fragmented. Many of us, we're spiritual, we're passionate, but we're unglued, right? We're not put together. We're not sane. We find ourselves being pulled in a million directions and ripped apart, and that is not what God wants. God wants you to be integrated. He wants you to be glued together. He wants you to be disciplined, trained, focused, that this fire isn't just out of control, but it's useful, that it's pointed in a proper direction for the good of others. Amen?
Amen.
So, we want it to be integrated. And that is what the body is. And this word, I think Jesus uses it, one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says these words. He says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," right? And many of us are like, I have to be as sinless as God, right? It seems like a little discouraging. That's actually not what Jesus is saying, though Jesus absolutely calls us to holy and good living, and he would love us to do everything right. That word teleos really means to be perfected, meaning that it actually means to be made whole. Be made whole as your Father's whole. Be perfected, round it out. You know, your life fits. It makes sense. That's what God is calling us to when he says, be perfect. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be integrated, not torn apart in a million directions. So I think that when we become passionate about God, we become enthusiastic. So passion that is trained, passion that is focused is enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is another great word. In Greek, you know, it actually literally means, enthusiasm means to put God in something. Isn't that cool? Theos is the Greek word for God. In means in. You put God in the stuff. And so when your passion is integrated, it becomes enthusiasm. And now you are putting God's life into yourself and to others by being an enthusiastic Jesus follower. And that's a very, very good thing when that happens. It is life-giving to you, to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues, even to your enemies. It becomes a great thing that blesses those who have to do life with you. Some of them would frame it that way. I have to do life with them. Be an enthusiastic person. Allow your passion to be focused, and like Jesus' passion was focused. Some examples of people who were enthusiastic, who had a spirituality that was focused for the good of themselves and others, that were incredibly passionate. My favorite, everybody's hero, Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham was such a passionate guy, is such a passionate guy. He's 97. He's not really doing ministry anymore and has health problems, but we're praying God gets him past 100. Amen? We want to see him around for a long time. And he just blew the world record out of the water. He's won Gallup poll's most admired man in America 59 times. So, and that's a secular poll. You know, he is so admired. He's helped so many people, and he was a passionate guy. And when he started ministry, he decided, my passion is going to be focused and disciplined. And he and a bunch of other pastors created what's now sort of famously known as the Modesto Manifesto. They were in a motel room in Modesto, and they made a covenant with one another, and it was three things. Number one, my salary will be voted on by an independent board. Number two, I will never, ever lie about numbers. Like, you know, in here, like how many people came to an event. Numbers will always be accurate. And number three, I'll never be in a room alone with a woman. And this was their, these were their three things. And almost every pastor today follows that rule. I follow that rule. And it was a great thing that they did, because he decided, he sort of knew God was going to bless his ministry. His passion became enthusiasm. His spirituality was integrated. Another famous lady, this is one of my favorite, Dorothy Day, was one of the most incredible women of God. She was sort of an American kind of Mother Teresa type person. Early on, she was a suffragette, and she was a revolutionary and a communist, and on fire, you know, and became a devout Catholic. And that's began to hone in this passion into a focus to care for the poor. And so she became a major advocate for the poor. And you can see in this picture here, she's practicing civil disobedience, and there's police trying to bully her. And she's like, you know, I'm trying to think of a phrase that you can say in church. You know, look at her face. She's like, just don't mess with me. You don't understand what's going on in my body. Dorothy Day is a great example that reinforces what I've learned having pastored a church of older people, that you don't become less passionate as you get older. You become more passionate. That you actually, the older you get, you become more godly, more on fire for God. C.S. Lewis said this. He said we become sharpened versions of ourselves. That the older you get, you either become much worse than you were when you were a young person, or become much better than you were when you were a young person, and that your life, the older it gets, becomes powerful, you know? The body may age like milk, but the spirit ages like wine. Amen? That's right. That's right. The older you are, the more power, the more spiritual power you have. You have more spiritual power right now than you've ever had because of your age. And that is something you have to remember. And that gives a young pastor like me hope that my greatest spiritual days are ahead of me. And they're ahead of you too. And that's a good thing. Like Dorothy Day, advocate for the poor. And the last comparison I want to make, and I want to be careful here because I'm not a history expert, but there's a great comparison between Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. These two guys were contemporaries, and they were both fighting for the same thing. And both of what they were fighting for was right and good, civil liberties for the black community in the South. They wanted to see equal rights. They wanted to see black people treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve. But they had two very different philosophies. Martin Luther King's was Christian, and Malcolm X's was not. Martin Luther King's view, his dream was, in his dream, right? One of the things that bothers me as a side note is that Martin Luther King is being portrayed more and more in the secular media as sort of a secular guy. He went from Reverend Martin Luther King to Dr. King, which is fine, but in that there's sort of this forgetfulness that he was a pastor and that the civil rights movement was a movement of the church. And it was. Those were church folk out there marching with Martin Luther King. And he was a pastor, and everything that he did was integrated in the kingdom of God. He was doing what he was doing because it was biblical. And Martin Luther King was a passionate guy. He was little. He was really short, like 5'4", on fire. And sometimes that was a vice for him, you know, it was. But he transformed America fundamentally forever for the right. Well, one of his contemporaries, Malcolm X, he had a very different view than Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King had white kids and black kids playing together and all of us being brothers and sisters and loving one another. Malcolm X advocated for violence and separatism. So actually, the one big difference between those two is Malcolm X wanted to be segregated, but Martin Luther King wanted to be integrated. And that's why, you know, Malcolm X is actually a tragic story, because by the end of his life, he renounced many of the things that he said, and he's such a charismatic and interesting character, and actually did a lot of good, but did a lot of harm too. And so he's sort of a confusing character in history. We don't really know what to do with him. But Martin Luther King was an obvious hero and transformed the world. Why? Because his passion was not driven towards hate or anger or separatism or violence or retribution. It was driven towards reconciliation in the kingdom of God. He was integrated in what God wanted. Amen? And that was why Martin Luther King should be the model for anybody who's in civil rights needs to look to that. Integration, not separation. You know, working together, loving one another, not blaming each other. And that's become a major problem. So we need MLK again. Anyway, so be passionate. Be passionate about something bigger. Be passionate. Don't believe this lie that often comes from the church that passion's a bad thing, that, oh, you're just being emotional. Give me a break. To be human is to be emotional. Emotions are a good thing. I want to feel joy and sadness. I want to weep and laugh. I want to enjoy my life. Emotions are a good thing. Be an emotional person. That's all right. Just allow your emotions, your will, your desire, your passion to become enthusiasm. Let it be integrated in the kingdom of God, focused into what God wants for you and the world around it. Let it be disciplined and focused. And so I'm going to finish actually with today's scripture reading. And this is, as we talk about feeling God's presence, Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9, he talks about how you'll be nourished if you help others. He says, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. This is very much about helping others, especially the needy, those who are in need, those who are poor, that if we become the kind of people who bless others in the world around us, God is going to see that our sun rises, that we become most alive when our passion is for the benefit of others, that when we live to bless God and bless our neighbors. Amen? So I'll finish with, here's three things I want you to consider doing. Number one, I want you to wake up and finish every day recognizing I am living in the Father's world and reality. You could even say something like, God, I recognize you are here. So every time you wake up and every time you go to sleep in God's love. Number two, be passionate in your workplace. If you don't have a job, be passionate in the things you do from day to day. When you go to work, be enthusiastic. If you hate your job, stop hating your job. It's a blessing. You don't have to work your job. Leave it if you hate it so much, right? Go there and be an example to the people you're working with, even if it's a bad job, to be enthusiastic about life and about God. And people will come to you and want to know what's behind this life. And finally, and we'll talk about this more in the coming series, think about the 15 feet of space around you. You don't have to go to distant lands and do all of these things. You can be a world changer in the 15 feet of space around you everywhere you go. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, God will provide for you opportunities where you can pray for people, give to people, help people out. You just have to be aware, slow down, be unhurried, and watch as God uses you in your 15 feet of space around you. Be passionate about the people you're doing life with. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. If you don't know the Lord and you are a passionate person, but you want to know what to do with your fire, I want you to become a Christian today. If you would, pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I give my life to you. I repent of my sin. And I want to be a new creation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to live like Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. My hope is that everyone who came here today leaves refreshed, renewed, and restored. And so may that be your blessing today. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue.
Bobby sprak bewogen en bevlogen over leven met passie. En zonder passie is denk ik leven niet heel erg leuk. En ik was ook onder de indruk van Rosie die zo vertelde over haar geloof en over haar passie. Muziek maken, zingen. En dat doen we allemaal in de voetsporen van Jezus. Die met zoveel bewogenheid en liefde de mensen in zijn tijd tegemoet trad. En in die voetsporen hoop ik dat u ook volgt. Ik probeer het ook met vallen en opstaan. Maar dan pakt hij je weer op. Vrienden van Hour of Power, volgende week hopen we weer te zijn. Dan met een bijzondere dominee die in het hartje van de Jordaan predikant is en mooie verhalen heeft. En als u zelf een keer kennis wilt maken met de kerk van Bobby Schuller daar in het hart van Los Angeles, Anaheim, ga dan mee met de speciale Hour of Power reis van 4 tot en met 15 oktober. U ontmoet Bobby persoonlijk, maakt de kijkdienst mee, maak kennis met het koor van Hour of Power en gaat ook nog een prachtige rondreis maken, onder andere langs de nationale parken. Nou, we zijn bezig en actief bij Hour of Power en dat vinden we ontzettend leuk. Ik wens iedereen namens het team een hele goede zondag toe.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.